Welcome to the Pop Culture Pod Podcast. Now let's begin.
Podcast listener, and welcome to the Pop Culture Pub Podcast. I'm your host. My name is Chris Lockhart, and this is the Deep Space Nine discussion panel. We've reassembled once again to discuss season 5.0 of our beloved Star Trek Deep Space Nine. And I apologize if you can hear a fan in the background. It's because currently in Alberta, we are going through a tropical heat wave or something. Like, it's crazy hot right now. I would die if I turned this fan off, I'm sure. But anyway.
And they say it feels like 37 degrees plus. So.
I know. I know. It's, yeah. It's rough. I mean, a guy shouldn't complain because, I mean, before you know it, you know, it's going to turn. You know, so.
It'll have a negative in front of it.
Yeah. But anyway, I am not alone on this podcast. I have, as I mentioned, the Deep Space Nine discussion panel has assembled. So first up. In no particular order, let's go with Curtis Holloway. How's it going, Curtis?
Just awesome, Curtis. How's it going, buddy?
It's going good. Hot. Yeah, next up, we have Ragnar. How's it going, Ragnar?
It's going really good, and I have air conditioning in my home.
Nice.
What, you've got central air?
Central air, baby.
Oh, so jealous right now.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And last but not least, we have Richard. How's it going, Richard?
As with everybody else, really warm. I have an AC machine, but it's in the living room cooling down the largest part of the house, which is the living room with, you know, the girlfriend and the kids. So I get stuck in the office. It's a little bit warm, but at least I got an overhead fan.
Yeah, that's nice.
But I'm ready. Let's get into this.
Yeah. All right. So just to recap. Last episode, we left off with the season 4 finale, where Odo was made a solid, and then he also had the revelation that Gowron is a changeling. So now we're going into season 5. This originally aired 1996 through 97. So we'll pick it up with episode 99 of the series, first of the season, and that's Apocalypse Rising, stardate 50015.9, directed by James L. Conway, written by Ira Stephen Baer and Robert Hewitt Wolfe, original air date September 30th, 1996. Starfleet assigned Sisko to expose the changeling infiltrator in the Klingon Empire. So yeah, it was a great opening episode. You know, I loved, you know, them going undercover. You know, I love the fact that Dukat, you know, took them there. I love the fact that Worf and what's his name, Gowron, get into another fight. And then, yeah, the twist is that General Martok is actually the changeling, not Gowron.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. So.
Well, thanks for spoiling that. I didn't watch it.
Just in case you didn't know.
So we get the seemingly death of General Martok in this episode. All right. Well, let's go around the table. I love the episode. I think it's great. Awesome opener. Curtis, your thoughts, sir.
Well, like you said, super awesome opening episode. Everyone here is a big fan of the Klingons, I know. Mm-hmm. I got to see a little bit of that Cardassian action. I like my Cardassian, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Dukat kills it. And he's just so damn pragmatic when he's dropping them off. Like, by the way, we're not going to be back. Sisko goes, well, what do you mean? He's like, well, if it works, you won't need us for a ride. And if it doesn't work, you won't need us for a ride.
Yep.
Damn those pragmatic Cardassians.
So practical.
Super twist, though. I remember the first time I saw this. It really caught me off guard. Definitely love it. Great opening.
Yep. Ragnar, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, the twist was incredible because, building up to this episode, Gowron has been acting very irrationally and has been doing a lot of things that it would totally seem like, yeah, if a changeling infiltrated them, of course they would want to put the Empire at war to weaken them and, mm-hmm. Divide the allies. So it was quite a surprise when he wasn't the changeling.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to mention, though, that Avery Brooks just killed it as a Klingon.
Mm-hmm.
He was so awesome that, it made you almost wonder if they should have just made Sisko a Klingon, because it was so... He just nailed it, in my opinion.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, this is a great episode. I think season 5 is probably my favorite season of the series.
Hmm.
And this was a real banger. Great way to start.
Excellent. And Richard, your thoughts, sir?
I don't know what else to say. I mean, if you want to open up a season, like, this is the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of felt for O'Brien, though, because, he was trying his best, but, like, he wasn't all the way there. And then Odo just so depressed, he couldn't shapeshift and do anything like that, and he was just not a good Klingon. And then juxtapose that with like somebody who essentially should be a Klingon, Sisko, just a little rough around the edges. And luckily, Worf was there to show them the ropes, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Dukat just killing it, wearing all those like Klingon memorabilia badges and stuff, and yeah, fighting his own little war, because that's the kind of guy he is, mm-hmm. he's so complex as a character, and it's just another edge to his personality.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Martok, that changeling, in universe, the changeling played him so well, but he doesn't quite understand Klingons. Had he understood Klingons just a little bit better, they never would have, found him out and figured out that he was actually the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, aside from that, like, top notch. Love the episode. Great season. And that's like pretty much all I have to say about that.
Excellent. All right, so the next episode is episode 100 of the series, second of the season, and that is The Ship, stardate 50049.3, directed by Kim Friedman, story by Pam Wigington and Rick Kaysen, teleplay by Hans Beimler, original air date October 7th, 1996. While exploring the Gamma Quadrant, Sisko, Dax, Worf, and O'Brien see a Jem'Hadar warship crash on a planet's surface. Meanwhile, Odo arrests Dr. Bashir and Quark. This was another good episode. I like the back and forth between Sisko and I can't remember her name, the lady Vorta. It was a good episode, and I like that this ship actually comes back in the series for the season 6 premiere. So. Ragnar, your thoughts?
Well, I liked that in this episode they had, I think his name was Muniz.
Mm-hmm.
Muniz, yeah, my boy Muniz.
He was sort of a character that we hadn't seen before, and rather than just having him be kind of your generic red shirt, the guy we've never seen before, he shows up on the mission so he can die so none of the principal cast have to. they really tried to make it as if everybody cared about this guy. And I thought that was kind of a neat approach because, you know, something people complain about in Star Trek is that, like, oh, four main cast members and one random guy go on a trip. Well, of course, the random guy's not coming back.
Yep.
So I thought that was, you know, interesting that they did that. And then, yeah, the Vorta was cool. Seeing a female Vorta, that was really cool.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Richard, your thoughts?
I actually really enjoyed the episode. I got, you know, I got a spot in my heart from Muniz, who's a, you know, he appeared to be a good officer, and I thought that I had remembered him playing in another episode, and I'm pretty sure he did. I'd have to look into it a little bit.
I want to say he was on that episode where they were in that gas giant last season, where like they, you know, Sisko was hurt and
yeah, he was Starship Down.
Yeah, and I think he was one of the engineers that like had to work with Worf and stuff. If I remember correctly.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I thought it was a good episode. I had a little bit of a crush on Killana. She was a very, very attractive Vorta.
Yep.
Very, very well played. She had some good scenes with Avery Brooks. I think they did well together. And yeah, beyond that, good episode, and I liked the storyline. And I was rooting for the good guys. You know, bring the ship home. You know, salvage rights and all that. So yeah, good episode.
Excellent. And Curtis, your thoughts, sir?
Well, I definitely don't dislike it. It's not one of my favorites, but it's, you know, I don't skip it. The twist at the end, again, two twist episodes in a row, that was cool. I don't really have a lot to say that everyone hasn't already covered, except that Vorta was totally hot. And it was a super good episode.
Yep. Excellent. All right, so our next episode is episode 101, third of the season. It's Looking for Parmok in All the Wrong Places. Stardate 50061.2, directed by Andrew J. Robinson. Garrick himself directed this episode. Written by Ronald D. Moore. Original air date October 14th, 1996. Worf finds himself attracted to Grilka, Quark's ex-wife, from episode 3.3 when she visits the station. Yeah, it was great. I was super stoked to have Worf and Dax finally get together, you know, like right from, you know, Worf's first, you know, scene with Dax, like in Quark's there and, you know, the beginning of season 4. I knew they were perfect together, you know, like they made a good couple. So, yeah. I was pretty happy about that. And I love the comedy in this episode. You know, when Worf's controlling Quark and Quark's got to, you know, not get killed by Grilka's bodyguard. It was a lot of fun. And also this, I believe this was the episode with the B story with O'Brien and Kira. Where they're kind of feeling a little bit something, because you know, from last episode or last season, we know that Kira is carrying O'Brien's child. She's the, you know, surrogate or whatever you want to call her, but it was a great
right.
episode.
I'm gonna go down to Bajor. That's right.
Yep. Richard, your thoughts, sir? Richard?
Yep, sorry.
Oh, no.
Apparently I was muted. I thought it was a great episode. Mary Kay Adams, as always, killing the role of Grilka. And I think we talked about that she did play on Deep Space Nine as well.
Babylon 5. That's
what I meant to say.
Yep.
Babylon 5. I just learned that she's a descendant of U.S. Presidents John Adams and John Quincy Adams, so that's pretty cool. But yeah, she's fantastic. I like Grilka episodes. There's only like two, But either way, like, they're good episodes, and, you know, she hooks up with Quark, which, you know, he needs to get some. He doesn't get out enough, I think. Mm-hmm. But in the end, like, yeah, the B story was funny. You know, like, Kira and O'Brien almost, like, but they're reasonable, and they're intelligent adults, and they're like, you know, we're not going to do this. This could turn out poorly.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, good episode. I like it.
Excellent. Curtis, your thoughts, sir?
You know, you say it's directed by Andrew Robinson, and having met the guy, I can confidently say that there's a lot of Andrew Robinson in Garrick,
mm-hmm.
and you can see a lot of that personality coming out in this episode, too, because it's hilarious and charming,
yep.
I think, quite frankly. Notable parts, just Worf's absolute flabbergastedness at how the hell this, you know, glorious Klingon female could possibly be going for Quark. And just, it's so beyond him that he has no idea. Jadzia is making pass after pass. It's so hilarious to watch. Really good job by all the actors. Totally hilarious episode, especially at the end where Bashir resolves that, you know what, I don't even know what happened. I'm just going to treat people and you can leave.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Hilarious episode. Awesome. 10 out of 10.
Excellent. And Ragnar, your thoughts, sir?
I really enjoyed this episode. It was awesome to see Grilka again. Definitely dig her. And the fight scene at the end has got to be one of the funniest fight scenes in Star Trek,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, Quark dueling Klingon style, very woodenly. I every time I watch it, it just kills me. I'm just howling with laughter during that whole scene. So this is a fun episode.
Agreed. All right. We will move on to episode 102, the fourth of the season, and that is Nor the Battle to the Strawn. Stardate 50098.7, directed by Kim Friedman. Story by Bryce R. Parker. Teleplay by Rene Echevarria. Original air date October 21st, 1996. Dr. Bashir has been away at a conference, and Jake Sisko has accompanied him to research a profile he is writing about the Doctor. Returning on a runabout, they get a distress call from a Federation colony under Klingon attack. Another great episode. I enjoyed this. You know, we saw, you know, a side of Jake we hadn't seen before. You know, like with you know, being scared and writing truthfully about, you know, what happened and so on and so forth. I liked this episode. I thought it was good. Ragnar, your thoughts, sir?
Well, you know, this is another one of the things that Deep Space Nine did more so than a lot of the previous, or even ones that followed it, Star Trek series, where they showed the darker side of the future.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this episode is pretty dark. It has some pretty heavy moments.
Yep.
And it shows a more realistic scenario for what being in the middle of a war or a battle is actually like.
Mm-hmm.
So I always enjoyed that. I wouldn't say it's one of the best episodes of the season or that it's one of my favorites, but it was a good episode and it was neat to see a different point of view.
Yep. Curtis, your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, just to echo kind of the sentiments Ragnar had, it's gritty. It's like the first really, like, gritty episode of the series, I think, in my opinion, anyway. You've got Jake after he runs away and he finds the dying soldier. And he's got to, you know, suck it up and do some things that he wasn't necessarily prepared to do. And, like, him, it's almost like we get to... We're being forced to face the reality of what's happening in this war,
mm-hmm.
at the same time that Jake Sisko is. And it's, you know, a little eye-opening. Think, like, holy crap. Like, all this other stuff's going on. We get to see all the fluffy moments of, you know, Jadzia and Worf hooking up. But meanwhile, like, there's a lot of really dark stories going on, too. And it's good to be reminded of that once in a while in Star Trek, I think.
Yep. Agreed. Richard, your thoughts, sir?
I have to go ahead and agree with that. It does show, like, the darker side, and, like, this is what war really is, and this is, like, a good way to, you know, properly tell the journalism, which we kind of starting to lose that in current day culture. And on a funnier note, Quark tries to bring out Quark to Gino, and it is a spectacular fail. Thought I'd have to, you know, throw that in there.
I forgot all about that. That's
it's a good episode, and there's some good moments in it. But I definitely enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. All right. The next episode is episode 103, fifth of the season, and that is The Assignment. Stardate 50124.3, directed by Alan Croker. Story by David R. Lawn and Robert Letterman. Teleplay by David Weddle and Bradley Thompson. Original air date October 28th, 1996. Keiko returns from a journey and informs O'Brien that she is really an entity that has taken possession of his wife's body. So yeah, this is the episode where we get to meet the Paul Wraiths for the first time. And yeah, not one of my favorite episodes. I don't know, it did seem kind of hokey to me. I didn't really like it originally. It's not one of my favorites, but it was okay. Curtis, your thoughts, sir?
Well, I am of a slightly different mind. I quite enjoy this episode. I'm not sure why. It could be because it is the episode in which I find Keiko the least annoying.
When she's not herself.
Actually Keiko.
For real.
But, I mean, it's another O'Brien Must Suffer episode, and I love my O'Brien Must Suffer episodes. And it was cool to see Rom sort of have that little spark of brilliance. Like, we both thought he was sort of this befuddled, you know, doddering fool a little bit. And I think Nog has alluded to his dad being like a engineering genius and all, but we never really got to see that a whole lot, I don't think, yet. Correct me if I'm wrong. But he's the one who figured out what they were doing and tipped O'Brien off to the whole thing. So he's kind of like the unsung hero. And that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. He doesn't get to do that.
That was pretty funny, like when Odo's got him, you know, locked up or whatever, and it took forever for Rom just to admit his own name.
Yeah, right? Like, he's in the mob, and his nickname's Tight Lips Larry all of a sudden. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it was funny. Ragnar, your thoughts, sir?
Well, I quite enjoyed this episode. You know, it was kind of scary to think about if this situation happened in real life. You know, how you're being blackmailed in order to protect somebody you love. You know, that was an interesting concept. And, of course, watching O'Brien suffer is essential to the Deep Space Nine experience. But I would say that this episode I have skipped a few times on rewatches.
Yeah, me too. And Richard, your thoughts, sir?
Kind of like between Ragnar and Curtis on this one, like, it does show that the actress that plays Keiko, I forget her name now. that she can actually, you know, act and not necessarily be the same, you know, evil character all the time. And
no,
of course,
she gets to be a different evil character in this episode.
Exactly, completely different, which is totally fine. But I also like the little bit of humor they put in where Rom requests to try some human breakfast, bacon and eggs with corned beef hash, which is a great breakfast, by the way, as opposed to puree of beetle, and Quark is, like, grumbling, like, what are you doing? You're not a human, but You know, Rom beats to his own, like, he rolls to his own beat kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I really like that about Rom. One of my favorite characters, actually. But it's a decent episode. I do skip it occasionally, but it's not a bad episode by any means. No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. Like, I don't hate the episode by any means, but yeah, it's not terrible. All right, so next episode, episode 104 of the series, sixth of the season, and that's Trials and Tribulations, stardate 4523.7, directed by Jonathan West, story by Ira Stephen Bear and Hans Beimler and Robert Hewitt-Wolf, teleplay by Ronald D. Moore and Rene Echevarria. November 4th, 1996 was the original air date. Darvin, a disgraced Klingon spy, travels back in time. The DS9 crew must prevent him from altering the timeline. Based on the original Star Trek episode The Trouble with Tribbles by David Gerrold. Yeah, this was a great episode. I loved it. You know, it was the Deep Space Nine's tribute to the original series because that at the time that this aired, it was the 30th anniversary of the original series. And man, I loved it. I loved, you know, how they were able to recreate, you know, the original Enterprise, you know, using footage from Trouble with Tribbles. You know, I loved the interactions between, you know, Kirk and Sisko, and I loved it all. You know, I loved when Kirk looks over and, you know, and sees Dax, and she, you know, smiles at him, and you know, I love the joke of the Klingons, you know, like, Klingons.
We don't talk about that.
Yeah. I love the bar fight. I love the lineup, you know, with Bashir and O'Brien, you know, being grilled by Captain Kirk along with Scotty and Chekhov. It was fantastic. Like, they did such a good job integrating, you know, the two episodes. And yeah, definitely one of my favorites from Deep Space Nine for sure. Richard, your thoughts, sir?
I love this episode. I love the homage they play to TOS, and you know, they had a few different ideas for this, and then eventually they went with this one, which was a great choice. A little bit lighthearted. The CGI was fantastic, you know. And then Dax in one of the classic era uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
Can't beat it, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And funny story is that in Voyager, they tried to do something similar with the 30th anniversary episode, yep. And it fell flat.
Oh,
completely
yeah.
Flat, in my opinion. It was not that good of an episode. And I'm guessing they just used all their budget on this one, and then whatever was left over, they just let Voyager, you know, try something, and it just didn't work out as well. There was not as much for me. Like, I wasn't as engaged in this episode. I was like, oh man, dude, Spock, Kirk, you know, like, it was just
yep.
really cool. And they kind of incorporated the orbs from the emissaries, which was also really cool. And just in general, it was a great episode, really well done, you know, showing the original Klingons and having Worf like cover his head and such. And like, I don't even know how else to be like, yeah, this is a great episode. You know, never skip. Never yep. skip.
Curtis, your thoughts, sir?
Man, what's not to like? I mean, you guys have covered most of it. Terry Farrell in a skirt. Are you kidding me? That was awesome. Must have been a nice day for Michael Dorn, not having to do the full makeup. That must have been a good break for him. At least I hope they didn't make him do the full makeup. Yeah, I don't really have anything to say that hasn't already been covered. Awesome. It's got nostalgia. Mm-hmm. It's got short skirts. What else do you want?
Yep. Ragnar, your thoughts, sir?
Well, like all of you guys, I love this episode. I always refer to it as the Forrest Gump episode, mm-hmm. how they, you know, kind of shoehorned the modern actors into scenes and tidbits of older footage. I thought that was brilliant. And I got to actually meet the guy, David Gerald, I believe his name was, who wrote the original episode.
Yep.
I got to meet him at the Pure Spec Festival in Edmonton many years ago. And I'm still kicking myself to this day because I never asked him what he thought of this episode. Instead, we just talked about how cute Tribbles were for like 10 minutes, and then he signed a copy of the script for me. But I really wish I had have asked him what he thought of this episode, because he probably would have had something to say about it.
Yep.
That would have been really cool. Like, just a little bit of tidbit information from someone like that would have been awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to kick you next time I see you, too.
Yeah, I know. I was all starstruck and tongue-tied, and I didn't know what to do, so.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a great episode. Lots of fun. Definitely recommend.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. So the next episode is episode 105, seventh of the season. Let He Who Is Without Sin. Stardate 50136.7. Directed by Rene Auberjonois. Written by Robert Hugh Wolf and Ira Stephen Baer. November 11th, 1996 was the original air date. Worf and Dax vacation on the pleasure planet Ryza and encounter unexpected dangers. Yeah, this was a fun episode. You know, I like it when every once in a while when, you know, the characters can do something different. You know, like they're on the, you know, they're on Ryza and yeah, it was a lot of fun. Worf, you know, being a stick in the mud. I thought that was great. Terry Farrell in that swimsuit, still, you know, amazing. She was so beautiful. She is so beautiful still. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. You know, Bashir and Lita and Quark along for the ride, and yeah, it was a good episode. It was fun, I thought. All right, Curtis, your thoughts, sir.
Yeah, fun's not a bad way to put it. It's not a bad episode. It's not one of my favorites. But it's, you know, it's a nice sort of more relaxed tone, mm-hmm. which is good at this point. We've had a lot of really awesome things and dark things. And, you know, it's been an overwhelming season so far. So it's nice to just sort of relax for an episode, I think.
Yep.
Lots of humor. A little more on the subtle side. That's good. Such a kick out of Worf. Now, there's going to be assumptions made after this. Just hold your assumptions. But I can't be the only one who's a little bit disappointed that we didn't get to see Michael Dorn wear that bathing suit that Jadzia brought for him. That was hilarious. Come on, tell me you don't want to see it. I dare you. You can't. That's all I got.
Excellent. Ragnar, your thoughts, sir?
Well, I pretty much just wanted to say this was the episode where we finally discovered that the spots go all the way down.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, and that is a quote right. That I hear on the Comic-Con circuit almost any time Deep Space Nine comes up. Somebody mentions that at some point. But yeah, it was a fun episode. You know, it was kind of funny how Worf couldn't not be Worf for most of the episode. And, it was a good episode. But the highlight is definitely centered around Jadzia Dax and her bathing suit.
Mm-hmm. And the idea that, you know, she had a relationship with
Yeah.
Just saying.
Well, as Curzon.
Yeah. Yeah, because Vanessa Williams, she was in this episode, and yeah, she was the reason Curzon had died, or he had a heart attack.
they were enjoying death some by Jamaharon. Yeah, what a good way to go. It's like death by snoo-snoo.
Richard, your thoughts, sir?
I thought it was a really interesting episode, especially with the fundamentalists that were in it, and it was just good to see that side of like the Federation, because you don't really get to see that. Most people are, you know, of a similar, you know, brainwave type thing, and then the fundamentalists are just straight up they're hardcore conservative fundamentalists, and it's interesting to see that in Star Trek, which we don't get to see that. Mm-hmm. But in general, it was a pretty fun episode. You know, Terry Farrell and her mm-hmm. spots can't even, and then of course Chase Masterson, Lita, is also pretty fun. Mm-hmm. And what a way to end a relationship with, like, you know, the Bajoran ritual of, you know, going out and having fun and then, like, just hooking up with other people and whatnot.
So progressive.
Right? What an enlightened people.
I wish breakups were like that. I just went through a breakup, and it was not like that.
Oh, man. Oh, sorry to hear that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move on to the next episode. It is 106th of the series, 8th of the season, and that's Things Past, Stardate 50144.6, directed by LeVar Burton, written by Michael Taylor. Original air date, November 18th, 1996. Sisko, Odo, Dax, and Garak are found unconscious. While Bashir attempts to revive their bodies, the four wake up during the Cardassian occupation of Bajor several years earlier. I love this episode. I love any chance to see, you know, Dukat during the occupation, I think, is interesting. Kurtwood Smith as Thrax, I thought was awesome. I love Kurtwood Smith as an actor. You know, every time he shows up in Star Trek, you know, I think it's awesome. It was a heartbreaking episode, you know, especially the revelation at the end that, you know, it wasn't Thrax at all, it was Odo. And he was the one that sentenced those innocent people to die, right? Just because he was overwhelmed. He had so much to do, and some things slipped through the cracks. And of course, this was our first hint, you know, like, that eventually he would be returning to his shape-shifting ways, like, when, you know, like, when this happened, and Bashir says, well, maybe you're not quite as solid as we thought. So, I knew it'd be coming. I really, really like this episode. Ragnar, your thoughts, sir?
Well, for me, definitely one of the highlights was seeing Kurtwood Smith. He made an awesome Cardassian. Mm-hmm. Like, that was very, very well cast. And, it was interesting to see, you know, that Odo does or did make mistakes. You know, that was interesting.
Yep.
And, yeah, Tarek Nor was a pretty brutal, unfriendly place, and it was interesting to see it, you know, see some of that in, you know, with your own eyes instead of just being told about it. So, yeah, it was a good episode.
Excellent. Richard, your thoughts, sir?
I actually really liked this episode. And, of course, Kurtwood Smith just killing it, as he does in pretty much everything he does. He's been in Star Trek a few times, you know, in Voyager, with the Krenim and things like that. What I was remember, I think we had talked about this a little bit before. There was a situation that happened with Kira and how she wasn't, you know, as perfect as well. But the way she treats Odo in this one seems I could be wrong, but it seems to be a little bit hypocritical given that situation. I can't remember exactly what happened, but I can remember, like, the surrounding parts of it. But
yeah, because that one in season two, when they did that flashback episode to the occupation, she killed that shopkeeper.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And it turned out she was the actual murderer all along. I totally agree with you. I felt the same way too. Like, hey, you know, like, you weren't all innocent either.
Exactly. I mean, whatever way she has to justify it, I mean, she still killed somebody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and this way too, like, Odo, you know, had to make a choice, and he had to do what he had to do, and it was very overwhelmed. I mean, he's just one being, right? So, mm-hmm. other than that, like, in general, like, just a really good episode. You know, they definitely came out to play that day for sure.
Yep. And Curtis, your thoughts, sir?
Really interesting episode. I think, like, the main takeaway for me was always nobody's perfect, like, regardless of what you think. You know, Odo this whole time has been painted as this very rigid, by the book, you know, tough but fair kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And like you guys pointed out, with Kira being a little bit of a hypocrite here, she's not perfect either. She's, well, not human, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Now, I can't remember. Was this, did we figure out what the source of this whole vision was? I'm just having trouble remembering the episode. Was it like a
basic
prophets or?
No, it was a piece of like Odo's brain. Basically, it was like him when he was with the Great Link. Like, you know, because he went to that conference or whatever and was stressed out. And there was a part of his brain that wasn't quite solid, and it reached out looking for other shapeshifters. And
right.
Yeah.
Right. So I guess that just goes to show, like, no matter who you are, everybody's got something in their past that maybe they dwell on, and it's not exactly, you know, something that they enjoy dwelling on, but it can't help but come up from time to time. Yep. I don't know. It made this episode to me made a few characters a lot more relatable, because I've done that. Everybody here has done that. You know, you think back about something that maybe you're not entirely proud of, and you know, it was kind of nice to see that this indomitable character that we think of as Odo has these flaws too. So it was, you know, it's nice to see.
Yep, agreed. All right. So the next episode is 107 of the series, 9th of the season, and that's The Ascent, stardate 50245.2, directed by Alan Croker, written by Ira Stephen Baer and Robert Hewitt Wolf, original air date November 25th, 1996. Forced to crash land on a desolate planet, Odo and Quark must climb a mountain to transmit a distress signal. Meanwhile, Jake and Nog temporarily back on Deep Space Nine, find sharing quarters isn't as enjoyable as they thought it would be. And a couple more things to note with this particular episode. So this is the last episode with the original Deep Space Nine uniforms. With the, you know, the gray turtleneck underneath and you know, the colored shoulder pads, because the next episode we get the new uniforms. We get the ones that we saw on Star Trek First Contact, which was released around the time of this episode. So between this episode and the next episode, Star Trek First Contact takes place. So between this episode and the next episode, Worf takes the Defiant to fight the Borg at Earth. So yeah, something to note. As far as this episode goes, I like it. You know, I thought it was you know, fun episode seeing Quark and Odo having to survive. You know, we got our first kind of glimpse at the Orion Syndicate a little bit. And yeah, you know, it was a great B story as well, like the Jake and Nog scenes. You know, Nog, you know, was doing his field work or his field time as a cadet and being on Deep Space Nine. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I really like this episode. Let's go with Richard. What are your thoughts, sir?
The A-plot didn't really grab me. I don't know, I just... Yeah, you know, not a big deal. But the B-plot with Sisko's, Jake Sisko and Nog was really great. And I always thought to myself, why did Jake have so many grammatical and spelling errors? Like, with how invasive autocorrect is in our lives today, don't you think that writing out on a pad it would just automatically be done for you. Like, I don't know, man.
We've had autocorrect for like 10 years now, and it still sucks and gets it wrong all the time.
That's true, but you think in 400 years, it does. But in 400 years, you'd think that it would be better.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, it's one of my every other skip episodes. Yeah, beyond that, that's all I got to say about that.
All right. Curtis, your thoughts?
Well, I do like seeing Armin Shimerman and Renee Auberjonois do scenes together. They're so good with each other, and they play off each other really well. So I did really enjoy the A-plot. Not so much for the plot itself, but just for, you get to see these two being these two, and it's hilarious. And even though they're both miserable, Quark still being Quark, and Odo still being Odo. And they're definitely best friends, but totally not best friends.
Mm-hmm.
every other rewatch, I might nap through this episode, but I do like it. And frankly, I couldn't live with Nog either. What a little tyrant. That's all I got.
Excellent. And Ragnar, your thoughts?
I really enjoyed this episode. As you guys had just mentioned, I think Odo and Quark have just phenomenal chemistry. And, you know, watching them struggle to survive was pretty entertaining. And then the Jake and Nog subplot, well, we've all been there where we've tried to live with somebody that we were really good friends with and had it affect our friendship, so I related very strongly to both plots, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think this is a solid episode.
Excellent. And I guess I went around the table already. Right? Richard, you already commented on this episode?
Yeah, I kicked it off.
All right.
I will actually point out one quick bit of trivia, though.
Sure.
The very first time I ever watched this episode, because it's not one that I watched for the first release, I rewatched it later. I actually rewatched this episode while Richard and I were for the first time ever. And that was, you know, it was all right. Neither of us was really grown up enough to handle it properly. I'm sure we'd be okay now, but
you know what, though?
What's up?
Out of all the roommates I've had, I'd still pick you over the rest of them people.
I hate you the least as well.
Yeah, because, I mean, as long as we have two bathrooms, we're solid. We're set.
That's really so important.
Yep.
Excellent. All right, so the next episode is episode 108, 10th of the season, and that's Rapture. Stardate 50387.9, directed by Jonathan West. Story by L.J. Strom and teleplay by Hans Beimler. Original air date December 30th, 1996. An accident causes Sisko to have prophetic visions. When he finds an ancient Bajoran city lost for 20,000 years, Kai reconsiders her attitude towards him. This was the episode when Bajor almost joined the Federation. But Sisko had a vision. He said that Bajor must stand alone, that locusts would destroy Bajor if it joined the Federation. And obviously that was in reference to the Dominion, you know, like the Dominion invading the Alpha Quadrant, which would come later in the season. And like I said, this was the first episode with the new uniforms, the Star Trek First Contact uniforms. This was an okay episode. I didn't mind it. It's one of those, like the guys were saying, you know, when you do a rewatch, you skip a few episodes. This is one that I catch every second time. But by no means am I saying it's a terrible episode. It's not one of my favorites. But, you know, Kai Winn is great in it, as always. And I can't help but wonder, like obviously, as we will find out in our next episode when we talk, you know, we talk about a two-part episode with the Dominion. This Dr. Bashir that we see in this episode is not Dr. Bashir. This is actually the changeling. Because when we do see Dr. Bashir, the real Dr. Bashir, he's wearing one of the original Deep Space Nine uniforms. So that means he must have been replaced before they got the new uniforms. But, all right.
I had never considered that. Holy smokes.
Yeah, so, yeah.
That's cool.
From here to that episode, this is that's a changeling. And I can't help but wonder if they, like, told them, or if he, like, you know, he knew, or, yeah. Curtis, your thoughts, sir.
Well, I super enjoy this episode. I think that it's cool to see Sisko sort of stepping into the role of the emissary a little more fully, because mm-hmm. he was very against that,
yeah,
in the beginning. And I think it's starting to dawn on Sisko just what that means for him and his life and the effect it's going to have on Bajor, which is a planet that he's really come to care for, this planet and its people. So maybe that's contributing to him starting to take his role more seriously. But anyway, I kind of feel like Avery Brooks leans into these sorts of episodes too. Like it seems like that sort of, I don't know. He just seems like he does really well at being Sisko in these episodes. Maybe it's just my imagination, but no, like you said, Louise Fletcher again, awesome mm-hmm. as Kai Winn. She's so consistent at playing this character. Like the inflections and the gestures and everything.
Yeah.
She just nails it repeatedly over 7 seasons. Like, it's incredible. Yeah, love the episode.
Excellent. Ragnar, your thoughts, sir?
Well, this is definitely not one of my favorite episodes, but what Curtis just said is so right. Kai Winn is just so horrible because she is so well acted. You know, Louise Fletcher brought her to such life. So every episode that she's in, every second that she's in is just stellar because you just want to reach through the screen and just strangle her for being so evil.
Agreed.
Yeah. So for me, yeah, that was a really good point. That's not a terrible episode or anything. I just was never super into the Bajoran religion, so for me this episode is kind of like, Bajoran religion episode, But, yeah, it's a good episode overall.
Excellent. Richard, your thoughts?
Honestly, I really liked this episode, and I just enjoy, like, Bajoran lore episodes. I'm not like, I wouldn't say like super into it, but I like learning about those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And Avery Brooks, 100%, like he really leans into it, and he does such a good job. And I can't say anything that hasn't already been said about Louise Fletcher. She kills it every time. But I often think about the level of intensity that these shapeshifters must have, because this particular shapeshifter that was impersonating Bashir was versed well enough in the medical field to, you know, diagnose what was wrong and fix it and do all these crazy things that are, you know, the height of human technology and medical science, and he just does it. Mm-hmm. Either, you know, it's really simple for them, or they're just really, really good at what they do. And I thought that was just super cool.
Well, to be able to emulate an augmented human, like, that's pretty intense,
dude. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking. But yeah, I really liked the episode and the whole idea behind Bahala and, you know, the Spire and him just, like, figuring it out. I just think that's super cool. But, yeah, that's all I got to say about that.
Excellent.
Guess you could say he was inspired.
All right. The next episode is episode 109, 11th of the season. The Darkness and the Light. Stardate 50416.2, directed by Mike Vijar. Story by Brian Fuller, teleplay by Ronald D. Moore. January 6th, 1997 was the original air date. Someone is killing former members of Kira's resistance cell, and she might be next. Yeah, this was a good episode. The cat and mouse, Kira's being hunted. Not one of my favorite episodes, but it was okay. I didn't mind it. Ragnar, your thoughts?
Well, this is another one of the episodes that really highlights how DS9 is willing to explore darker and deeper topics than a lot of the other Star Trek series. Mm-hmm. And this is definitely one of those episodes that kind of leads you to the conclusion, war is hell. Mm-hmm. There's a certain point in the episode where you're kind of wondering who you're supposed to root for, because you can sort of see the justification for both parties and why they've done what they've done and what their end goals are. So it leaves you a little bit conflicted. And I think it was a very, very thoughtful and deep episode. I would also like to mention, though, that there's a certain point where Kira is so determined to see the thing through that it's almost like she forgets she's pregnant. And I always thought, like, man, there's no way she should be doing any of this stuff while she's carrying this mm-hmm. baby.
Yep.
That always kind of irked me, but then I remembered, well, it's not actually her baby, so maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, I always thought that too. I always thought that was a little irresponsible of her to be running around, like that.
Yeah.
Richard, your thoughts, sir?
I thought it was a really great episode, and it does. It shows the darker side of war and the after effects of, things like occupations and things like that. It makes me sad, though, because Lupeza and Pharrell were two of my favorite characters, mm-hmm. Reoccurring guest stars. They tragically lost their lives through this, debt of vengeance that the Cardassian was on.
Yep.
But it was also kind of a neat thing that they actually brought fresh Makara herbs, which was just a small thing, but I liked that they, threw that in there, because they're farmers, and they're like, hey, let's bring some fresh Makara herbs for our pregnant, best friend from the old days.
Yep.
And, just little things like that. And aside from that, I thought it was a really good episode, and Kira's just so intense and so, just relentlessly, she will not give up, at the cost of her own life or the child's life, even potentially. So, yeah, good episode. I like it.
Excellent. And Curtis, your thoughts?
I don't have a lot that hasn't already been said. I like the episode well enough, but it's not a real standout one for me.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was super cool and clever, because I'm a big Cardassian fan, that the guy actually used her own voice in the messages that she was getting after the former members of her cell were executed. I thought mm-hmm. that was a nice touch. But, it's good. I don't nap through it anyway. It's a good enough episode.
Excellent. All right, so the next episode is episode 110, 12th of the season, and that is The Begotten, stardate 50430.1, directed by Jesus Salvador Trevino, written by Rene Echevarria, original air date January 27th, 1997. When Quark discovers an infant changeling, it has a profound effect on Odo. Meanwhile, Kira goes into labor. This is the episode where Odo gets his groove back, and by that I mean his shape-shifting abilities. We also see Dr. Mora. This is the episode I forgot about when we did our season 2 episode. So we do see Dr. Mora in this episode as well. And like I said, Odo gets his shape-shifting abilities. And I can't help but wonder, with Bashir being a changeling, if that changeling had something to do with this as well. Like, you know, not just the baby shapeshifter, but, you know, like the Bashir shapeshifter. Like, did he have some pull in this? I always kind of wondered that. I wouldn't consider this one of the great episodes, but, you know, it was a good episode. There's, you know, nothing wrong with it. And Kira has O'Brien's baby. Richard, your thoughts, sir?
I thought it was a really cool episode. I'm also a big fan of Dr. Mora, Odo's sort of pseudo-father. And that actor has been in Star Trek. He plays a lot of different things. He played the guy who invented the Metreon cascade that basically wiped out the Talaxians. Mm-hmm. I forget his name, but he's done a good job. And you kind of get to see where Odo gets his sort of form from.
Yep.
And you kind of gotta wonder, like, did the Julian Bashir shapeshifter have anything to do with this? Did he know, or was he even there just to partly also keep an eye on Odo and things like that? But yeah, I thought it was a good episode. I like that they kind of worked in the whole pregnancy thing, but it just didn't really, you know, do a lot for me in the way of, like, great script writing. But I will say Kira Yoshi is a really cool name, and it works together, putting those two names together. Mm-hmm. And Shakar just rubs me the wrong way, man. I don't really like Shakar, I don't think, you know, upon further reflection. Kind of a dick, I don't know. But I'm just also really glad that Odo and Dr. Mora kind of got to get past their differences, and they started to get closer, which was really cool.
Yep.
And yeah, and Odo got his abilities back, and it made him, I think for him, it made him more whole again, because I don't think he felt like he was himself. You know, he was like, it was like if one of us were to lose a leg or an arm, you know. Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good episode. I enjoyed it.
Yep. Curtis, your thoughts?
Not a bad episode. I like the exchanges between Shakar and O'Brien just sniping at each other relentlessly. That's a good time. This is one of the episodes that I did happen to see when it aired. And it's one of the ones that, for some reason, you know, just randomly pondering, scenes from it would come back, and, you know, I'd remember it. I'm not sure why that is. Because, like I said, it's not one of my favorites, but it's good enough. And I do like seeing the actor who plays Dr. Mora. I think he does a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't have much else to say.
Excellent. And Ragnar, your thoughts?
Well, I think this episode should be titled How Odo Got His Groove Back.
Yeah, buddy.
I think it's a decent episode. There's a lot of really touching moments with Odo, where we see the caring, nurturing side of him that we don't often see because he's usually so cold and distant. And, it was neat to see Dr. Mora again and to see the two of them build a relationship. I still feel like Dr. Mora should have been a recurring character, but I don't believe we ever see him again.
No.
And as far as the kind of the B plot goes, man, the Bajoran birthing procedure sure seemed really irritating. All the musical notes. It's like, how on earth is that supposed to make you relax? It seemed like just stress overload.
Yep.
And having been part of a human birthing process, humans are way better at it than they are.
Well, all right. Yep. But yeah, overall, good episode. Yeah. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ragnar. I wish that Dr. Mora would have came back a few more times.
Mm-hmm.
But, all right, so we are going into our last episode of this podcast episode, because we've reached the number 13 mark. So this is episode 111, 13th of the season, and it is For the Uniform, stardate 50485.2, directed by Victor Lobel. Written by Peter Allen Fields. Original air date February 3rd, 1997. Michael Eddington returns as Sisko becomes obsessed with catching him. And then this, I believe this is the first episode where we get the holographic projection communication. It was an okay episode. It's not one of my favorites. It's not bad by any means. And I loved seeing, you know, Michael Eddington returning. I love, you know, Sisko has to basically take on the role of the bad guy in Eddington's little, you know, narrative that he's created. But I like it. His other appearance this season. I like that episode a lot better. I thought it was not to get ahead, but I just felt that episode was a better use of Eddington. Where this one, it wasn't bad, like I said, but I don't know. I just didn't. This is one of those episodes that sometimes I skip during my rewatches. I was never a big fan of that holographic projection. Thing, but which is funny because in this episode it's new technology that they're using for the first time, but yet on Star Trek Discovery they had that technology back then. Interesting.
I don't want to talk about it.
Neither do I. All right, so Curtis, what are your thoughts, sir?
I believe this is the one where the Defiant is so disabled that Nog has to relay commands from Sisko down to the engine room. Is that right?
Yes, I believe so.
Once it gets repaired?
Yeah.
Okay. I gotta say, nothing from this episode really sticks out to me. I'm a fan of Michael Eddington, but this just doesn't seem like one of the more powerful episodes with him in it. It's a little bit blah, and sometimes I nap through it. That's about all I got.
Ragnar, your thoughts?
Well, I thought this was a stellar episode. You get to see the real dark, pissed off side of Sisko. He, in my opinion, definitely steps over the line a few times in this episode. You know, kind of the doing bad things for good reasons kind of scenarios.
Yep.
And I think it's a really powerful episode. It's it's got some action, it's dark, it leaves you wondering on the morality of some things. I would say my only complaint in this episode is that there's no real repercussions going forward for Sisko, and I really feel like some of the stuff he did, he probably should have got in trouble with Starfleet Command, you know, once they found out about it. And there might have even been some sort of punishment or something. And they kind of wrap it up in the end of the episode and they never touch on that again. So that's my only real complaint with this episode. But overall, I think this is a very strong episode.
You know, I think I might have to pay more attention when this one comes around again, now that you mention it.
Good news, actually.
I got the girlfriend watching Deep Space Nine, so I'm going to get my opportunity real soon.
Oh, well,
yeah,
congrats.
Thanks,
man,
for pointing that out. Yeah, I know, right?
And Richard, your thoughts, sir?
Listening to what Ragnar was saying, I don't, like, you know, Starfleet likes to turn a blind eye a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is one of those times because, if I recall correctly, the planets that he basically poisoned, he only poisoned so that humans couldn't live there. Cardassians could, and I believe they were on the Cardassian side, or they were meant for the Cardassians. So I think Starfleet they were just like, okay, well, they weren't supposed to be there anyway, so they just turned that blind eye. Was it kind of shitty? Sure, but in response to some other shitty things, so it was kind of a back and forth, and we know how Starfleet gets with things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But all in all, like, I thought it was a great episode. That sort of vendetta you know, of Cisco's against Eddington's, and Eddington is like, oh, you know, just leave it alone. We're going to be okay. And then Cisco's like, oh, boy, you're coming with me one way or the other. And when he gets mad, oh, boy, you better watch out.
Yeah, man.
Planet's going to get messed up. But, yeah, great episode. The whole holographic communication things didn't do it for me. Glad they didn't keep that in there. And, yeah, aside from that, I thought it was a great episode.
Yeah, that holographic stuff, it kind of reminded me of, like, the warp speed limitations, you know, like when they brought that in the seventh season of Next Generation, and because warp speed was destroying the universe, and they couldn't go faster than warp 5 unless, you know, they get special permission. I'm so glad they got rid of that whole notion. I thought that was dumb. And this is kind of one of those, like, this holographic communication. I'm just glad they threw it out the window, because it just seems silly to me. But anyway, I digress. So yeah, this is where we'll leave the season. We're 13 episodes in, so we got 13 more, so we will tackle those episodes on our next episode, season 5.5. And yeah, it starts out with a bang, because we're going to go right into the two-part episode with the Dominion. And, yeah, everything comes to a head.
Oh, buddy, I'm excited for that one.
Yeah.
Hell that's yeah, a good brother.
Couple of episodes.
Yeah, they are. But before we go, let's play that little game of where can we find you on the internet. And, Curtis, where can we find you, sir?
Actually, I'm considering making a return to social media. We'll see. Like an official one. I know that I have like that account that's just basically talking to you guys. But, yeah, hopefully I'll have some more news by next episode.
Cool. Excellent. Man. Excellent. And Richard, where can we find you, sir?
Monk Lifts on Instagram and YouTube. Nothing special. Again, RagnarTheTrader.com. Get at him because he's got the good stuff. Trust me.
Excellent. And Ragnar. Where else can we find you?
Yeah. I'm Ragnar the Trader on Facebook as well as on Instagram, or of course, RagnarTheTrader.com. And I do also have an Etsy store, which is, if you search Ragnar the Trader on Etsy, I'll come up there too.
And you were just recently at a convention in Lethbridge, right? I believe?
Yeah, it was a craft show.
Craft show. How far of a drive is that for you?
Well, it's about 7 hours.
Oh, that's not so bad, I guess.
Yeah. But it's a... You're going through the flat, boring part of Saskatchewan and the flat, boring part of Alberta.
Yes.
So it's not a particularly fun drive.
Yeah.
But
is there another part of Saskatchewan?
Actually, there is. You just never see it.
No, I'm asking because I've been there a few times to go fishing, but it's basically all been flat and boring.
Yeah, if you go about 2 hours north of Saskatoon, it turns into forest. And if you go way past that, there's even some mountains up there, too.
Really?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's northern Saskatchewan. It's just beautiful, but nobody ever goes up there, so nobody knows about it.
Yeah.
Really?
Hmm. Excellent. And yeah, you can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter at ChrisLock1701. I also do a blog. It's called Random Nerdness. You know, with it being summer, I haven't been blogging as much, but occasionally I'll throw something out there. And as far as the podcasts go, you know, with it being summer, you know, people's schedules change, and you know, it's nice, you know, with the whole COVID thing, people are finally getting out again, so you know, we've fallen a little bit behind on our episodes, but we still have some, you know, we're going to be doing the state of Star Wars, which a lot, I think most of the discussion panel will be on for that episode, as well as some of my other podcasters from my other episodes. And then we're planning on doing a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles discussion, because of the 30th anniversary of, the first film, was this last May. So,
No way. Just watched that movie this week.
Oh, really?
Sweet.
Super awesome. Dude, that was my favorite movie as a kid. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I love that movie. It's still great.
I watched it so many times as a kid that when I rewatched it as an adult, I still know all the parts and all the lines.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah, brother.
Yep. Straight up, buddy.
Yep. Yeah. No, it's fantastic. But anyway, so that's what's been going on with the podcast. You know, it's summertime, so we don't really, you know, podcast as much, but we do try. So yeah, our next episode of the Deep Space Nine Discussion Podcast will continue with Season 5, the last half of Season 5, and it's going to be a good one. So, on behalf of myself, Chris Lockhart, and Curtis, and Ragnar, and Richard, I want to thank you, dear listener, for taking the time to listen to the Pop Culture Pub Podcast. This was our Deep Space Nine Season 5.0 discussion, and we will see you again in the not-too-distant future.